You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having seven kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Michael Fabiano alongside the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. And happy Halloween. Did we go out last night, do anything crazy?
I went out last weekend, so I kind of got my Halloween fill there. Went out. Walked around the neighborhood, saw a bunch of costumes last night, which is cool.
Yeah.
I love when people go out for all out for Halloween. It's such a fun holiday.
I love it, dude.
For everybody.
I love it.
You know, for the adults, because they get to, you know, sit back and watch their kids and, have a few adult beverages as they stroll by. And for the kid, they get to, you know, throw up after they eat, you know, 6 pounds of candy.
Well,
it's incredible.
What happens is that the parents end up eating all the candy and then, you know, you put on 5 pounds. So, yeah, Matthew went as Pennywise.
Ooh, and, nice.
I posted it on my IG, Michael_Fabiano_. He was good.
I'll check it out right now. I love that
It's
movie.
Creepy, bro.
You
little kid
that
even
movie.
Dressed up like that. It was creepy. So we had some fun, although out past my bedtime.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that good?
Wow. Yeah, it is really good.
Yeah, he looked really good. We got that costume. We ordered it from Amazon. It came out of China. It took like a month to get it. And
sweet.
Then, Anna knocked out the makeup. And,
yeah, it's killer.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. Can't believe it's already November 1st. So before we get into last night's game, let's go behind the glass and welcome our friend Nabil. What's up, bro?
Hey, how you doing?
You're getting ready to see your Packers at StubHub in what will be a home game for Green Bay in Los Angeles?
I was about to say.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I want to check out and see how StubHub is.
Are you going?
Yeah, I'm going.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited to see.
Yeah, that's going to be like 60% cheeseheads, I bet.
Yeah, so it'd be like 15,000 out of the 25,000, right?
Yeah.
It is something unbelievable. Like, I mean, at some point, the NFL's got to say, you know what? Maybe the Chargers should have stayed.
Well, they will be our neighbors here in a few years.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yep. All right. Well, let's kick things off with that Bananas game last night. And I had to watch a little bit of on Game Pass because I was out trick-or-treating with my kid. And so it was kind of hard to pay close attention to it. I've been like watching it on my phone on my NFL fantasy app, trying to avoid getting run over by people who are walking aimlessly, not looking where they're going because they're trying to get candy. But this game was it went the way we thought it was supposed to, and then in some aspects it didn't, right? So like Jimmy Garoppolo was like one of my sleepers at quarterback this week. I didn't expect him to have four touchdowns, but if you started him, you had a nice start to the week. He had his best game ever from a fantasy perspective. We knew George Kittle was going to go off, which we had that early scare with the knee. He came out and had 79 yards and a touchdown, so he had that big game. Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, man.
Who has, I mean, and you've talked about this.
Oh, man.
This dude is a medicinal, medical, surgical miracle.
No kidding. I mean, he, not only that, I mean, so the dude is now, you know, he's 32 years old. He's coming off an Achilles tear, gets traded midseason, and basically has already looked like their clear cut number one receiver. Yep. He is going to have Fabs. Manny Sanders is going to have a monster second half here. They get the Seahawks, Cardinals, and Packers over the next three games, all of which are at home. 49ers have already had their bye. They get the Falcons in week 15 for fantasy championship weeks.
Yep.
Manny Sanders, man, he's going to have a monster second half.
He made Patrick Peterson look bad.
Well, that's the thing, man. Like, that's the thing. Patrick Peterson is getting up there in age, and you can kind of like, you know, you can kind of throw away from Patrick Peterson in this offense. The Cardinals, the rest of the Cardinals cornerbacks in their secondary are just so burnable.
So I feel like the one thing that didn't go the way we had thought was Tevin Coleman. Now, Coleman had 12 carries. He was out-touched by Matt Breida, and Breida was the far better back. Now, I believe in that game, Coleman had a touchdown called back because of a hold. But overall, Breida was the better back. So it's a little bit disheartening for fantasy owners because we had seemingly come to the conclusion based on the numbers that Coleman was the guy.
Yeah.
And Breida was going to end up being more of a complimentary runner.
49ers had a hard time running the ball last night.
Which was odd.
Yeah, it was odd because Breida had that 31-yard run. But outside of that, he didn't really do too much explosively. Tevin Coleman really should have ripped off like a 50-yard plus gain. I don't know if you saw the play, but Tevin dropped a screen. And there's
I saw that on Game Pass, yes.
Yeah, there was no one in front of him.
Yep, so if you started Coleman, listen, man, I did. And I mean, it's coming off a four-touchdown game. Good matchup, didn't happen. Hopefully, we'll get back to the Coleman as the lead dog in this backfield.
Really, this
moving forward.
Really, the story here was just Jimmy G just diced him up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, on the Cardinals side, I'm going to eat a little crow here. And I'm not the only person in the industry that did not like Kenyon Drake. I just didn't. He didn't have much time to come in and learn the offense. He was going in against a defense that had not given up a top 30 running back outside of Christian McCaffrey. And Christian McCaffrey would smoke the 85 Bears. So I didn't like Drake. I hated the Drake. And the Drake, he kicked butt in this game. He looked great. 7.3 yards per rush. He had four catches for 52 yards, ended up with a monster stat line. Now, a lot of us out there have David Johnson. I'm one of them in one of my 12 leagues. And now I'm a little bit concerned because Drake looked really good. And when David Johnson comes back, I fear that that featured role that he had is going to have evaporated.
Yeah, I'm not sure if what the Cardinals will do over the next couple of weeks, because Chase Edmonds is still a major question mark here. It sounds like he's going to miss a few weeks with that hamstring injury. But yeah, I mean, Kenyon Drake was awesome last night. It's almost
awesome.
It's almost like he should have had a featured role in Miami there.
Well, he did for about one half of a season, and it was great.
Look, I don't know what Adam Gase and Brian Flores, those guys, were doing with Drake. He's obviously, every single time we've seen Kenyon Drake in some sort of featured role where he's, you know, playing 60% of the team snaps, he looks great. And last night, 19 touches, 162 yards from scrimmage. And you mentioned it. I mean, this is that fantastic defense. Now, granted, the Cardinals, they run a ton of spread, which kind of lightens up boxes. And Kenny Drake ran into a ton of light boxes last night, which really helps efficiency-wise. But yeah, man, Drake's for real. You know, the thing is, when DJ does come back, even if
he's still the starter.
Right. Even if it's not the featured role where he's playing like 80% of snaps, but like this offense is so conducive for running back fantasy points. It, you know, DJ can still be a low-end RB1, splitting time with in some sort of timeshare with Drake.
Yeah, and I think people are going to feel a little bit more comfortable now because, you know, I had mentioned on TV yesterday that, you know, the Cardinals have the Niners and the Bucs, who have the number one rushing defense, and then they have the Niners again, and then they have a bye. Of course, that second game against San Francisco is on the road. That might be a little bit tougher sledding, but we're not sure when David Johnson's coming back. Kyler Murray is another one, man, and he didn't have a great game until that 88-yarder to Andy Isabella, and that basically put him from performance to 23 points.
Yeah, rock solid. I mean, based on that 88-yard score, Andy Isabella, we've all been kind of waiting for this, for Andy Isabella to do something this year. I mean, I think before that, he had just had two or three catches. Still basically did not play, though. Only had like 13 snaps last night, but obviously ripped off a huge gain and kind of showed, I think, what we liked out of Andy Isabella coming out of college, right? It's like he's extremely fast, explosive playmaker, but obviously he's had some issues earning playing time with this team, and maybe this will get him a few more snaps down the road.
Larry Fitzgerald predictably had another stinker, 7.8 points, has now scored fewer than 8 points in three straight games, has had fewer than 12 points in four of his last five games.
His targets have just completely evaporated.
And Christian Kirk being back is not going to help, and Kirk didn't have a big game either. So the fantasy-relevant Cardinals wide receivers really were bust last night. Fitzgerald was a little bit more predictable. We thought that Christian Kirk, because of the target share, because of the number of routes he runs, it was going to be the guy. But, you know, it was Andy Isabella. Keyshawn Johnson had a touchdown in the game as well. So moving forward, I feel like if you have Kyler Murray, you have to have a little more confidence in him because he had two stinkers in a row, and then he put up this big stat line against the Niners. Next week, he's got the Bucs.
Oh, yeah, that's
really
a
good
that's
start.
A great spot.
Then he's got a road game against San Francisco, which at that point, we'll be talking about that. So if you started Kenyon Drake, you're smarter than me, and you're smarter than a lot of people in the industry because that was a big-time fade, but congratulations on what was a great performance. Now, let's move on to the Week 9 matchups. We have four teams on a bye this week, so let's kick things off in London with the Texans and the Jaguars. And first, let's talk about the injuries, Graham.
Yeah, not much to note in this game outside of D.D. Westbrook. He's been battling this like neck shoulder injury for a few weeks, did not practice earlier in the week. He's probably trending towards a game time call. And Fabs, if he does not play, I kind of like Chris Conley as a little sleeper in this.
I like him a lot. And guys, remember, that is a very early game. If you're on the West Coast,
unfortunately,
you got to get up early to find out who's inactive and who's going to be in there.
That's a 6:30 game. So if you're on the West Coast, you got to be up at 5 to check out inactive.
Yep. And Chris Conley, I picked up in a couple leagues. I'm going to play him. He's had 33 fantasy points in his last two games. And Houston's been dreadful against wide receivers all season long. So even if Westbrook is in, I still like Conley as a bye week replacement. But if Didi is out, then more targets. Gardner Minshew is a tremendous play this week. And I mentioned it on the show. There was like six Gardner Minshews around here yesterday. That was like the popular costume here at the National Football
League. I am shocked.
They were all over the place. All over the place. Let's go to the Jaguars. DJ Chark. We'll continue with the Jaguars. Excuse me. DJ Chark must start in a just ridiculously great matchup again against this Texans defense, which has just gotten gashed all season long by receivers who line out wide. So get him into your starting lineup. No question about that. Leonard Fournette is an obvious one. Now to the Houston side, Deshaun Watson's dealing with that eye injury, and all indications are that he will play. So unless there is some sort of setback, keep him in your lineup in this contest. What I do have a little bit of concern about is that backfield situation, because this is not a great matchup for Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, you know, Carlos Hyde this year is just, you know, he, even though the Texans have looked smart for trading for him, and he's, you know, definitely acquitted himself as a good player again, Hyde has just basically been a game script type of, you know, running back for fantasy this year. I mean, in the Texans' five wins this year, Hyde has seen 19 or more carries four times, and in their three losses, he's been around like 11 carries per game. So, I mean, if you think the Texans are going to go into London and beat the Jags and win, Carlos Hyde is a fine fantasy play. It's just he's extremely touchdown dependent, basically not involved at all as a receiver in their passing game.
Yeah, so Carlos Hyde to me is a fade if you're deep, if you can find an option at flex, because that's basically what Hyde has been most of this season. Kenny Stills is one of those guys where like he has that big giant game where nobody started him, and then everyone gets excited about him, and then Will Fuller's out, and you're thinking, ooh, Kenny Stills. And then Kenny Stills.
Yeah. He had a bad game last week, had a drop that he should have caught. But for what it's worth, I mean, it's not like Kenny Stills didn't play. I mean, he played literally every single snap and ran a route on every single one of Deshaun Watson's dropbacks. Just didn't see a lot of targets. I would be willing to go back to Stills as a high upside flex. Like, if you feel really good about like the floor on your team and you just are swinging for the fences, I'd be willing to go back to Stills as a flex play this week.
All right, let's move on here. Bears at Eagles. Injuries, what are we looking at?
Yeah, it looks like the Eagles are going to get DeSean Jackson back after this like 6 to 7 week long groin abdomen injury. He's been practicing in a limited fashion all week. Sounds like Doug Peterson is optimistic to get him back. I don't know if we can necessarily trust him in our fantasy lineups this week, but I think it's great for this offense as a whole if he does come back. Miles Sanders left last week's game with a shoulder injury, but it didn't sound too serious, and I think he's going to play this week. And and the Bears really have stayed pretty healthy outside of their offensive line that they've had some issues with. The Bears skill position players are pretty healthy this coming into this.
Yeah, so David Montgomery is a fade for me. A lot of people have to play him.
Yeah.
But when you look at the numbers, that Eagles defense is averaging fewer than 3 yards per rush at home. They're a much better defense at the link than they are on the road. So if you have depth, Montgomery is a fade for me. I'm starting Allen Robinson. The Eagles have been giving it up to receivers lined out wide. Robinson's out there about 61% of his routes. Mitchell Trubisky, you may look at the matchup on paper and think, well, maybe I could use him in a 2QB league or a super flex league. Don't do it. The Eagles are allowing 9 fewer fantasy points to quarterbacks at the link as opposed to on the road. They are a much better defense on their home field, and Trubisky has looked god-awful. So, I mean, if those of you are desperate out there, I'd rather play Matt Moore, to be quite honest with you, or Sam Darnold in this matchup. Now, Philadelphia. We got a couple of revenge game scenarios here. Yes. The first one, Jordan Howard going up against his old team. Now, keep in mind, the Bears in their last 3 games have given up 29-plus fantasy points to Josh Jacobs and Latavius Murray. And then last week, they gave up a touchdown each to Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. I love Jordan Howard in this game.
Really? Interesting. I think with Miles Sanders back, it throws a wrench into this whole backfield here. I think Howard's a fine flex play, but like... The thing is like if Jordan Howard doesn't score, it's kind of like the Carlos Hyde situation. If Howard doesn't score, he's relying on, you know, those, you know, ripping off a big run or maybe having a big catch in the passing game. And I just don't know if that's necessarily something we can predict week to week. You mentioned it, though. This Bears run defense has really shown signs of cracking recently. But, you know, the committee here is just what really gives me pause. Fabs, what do we do with Zach Ertz?
Dude, I mean, you got to keep playing him. The only scenario where you can bench Zach Ertz is if you were a savvy drafter and you have Mark Andrews on your roster or you also have Darren Waller on your roster.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I have Zach in one league, and what am I going to do? Like, there's nothing on the waiver wire.
No.
Unless I really want to be bold and start Darren Fells over him.
Yeah.
Which I'm not there. Or Cameron Brate, I'm not there.
That's
or Jonnu Smith, I'm just not there. Although I do like Jonnu Smith this week. You got to take your medicine, bro. I mean, yeah. I honestly don't know what to do. He has been, over the last couple of weeks, Dallas Goedert has been the better Eagles tight end from a fantasy perspective. I got to keep rolling him out there, man. And I'm not digging it. What I'm hoping is that we see the Zach Ertz from like several years ago where he sucked until Thanksgiving. And then from Thanksgiving on, I don't know what happened. He just, you know, maybe the tryptophan is sort of just his spinach a la Popeye and he goes crazy. But yeah. He's not been good. He's not been good.
Yep.
So I'd continue to play Zach Ertz. I'm not playing Carson Wentz this week.
Yes.
Tough matchup. Even at home, the Bears are giving up fewer than 15 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks this season. So I would fade
Carson
Wentz.
The Bears have been freaking awesome. Like against fantasy quarterbacks this year, like even though their defense has not been as good, they've really limited opposing passers. Again, though, if DeSean Jackson comes back, I think I will be a little bit higher on this offense as a whole.
Yeah.
Because they just desperately need some speed on the boundary to take the lid off this offense here.
Colts at Steelers, and obviously the big injury we're looking at here is James Conner and that shoulder.
Yeah, James Conner has been just a warrior for the Steelers this year. He's just battled through multiple injuries, and now this is his fourth one. Sounds like a true game-time call. Jalen Samuels is going to return this week after his meniscus tear. He missed 3 games. It was kind of a surprise inactive on Monday night, but obviously the Steelers were just giving him, you know, an extra week to rest in anticipation to get him back. So, yeah, I mean, if James Conner misses this game, which I have no idea. I think it's a true 50-50 call.
Right.
Jalen Samuels will be like a borderline RB1 play this
week.
Because the Steelers are going to be without Benny Snell, who also needed knee surgery for his meniscus too.
Yep. Yeah. So that is something to look out for, and that's an early game, which is good news for fantasy owners because you don't have to worry about sort of riding that wave in the later contest. So we'll stick with the Steelers. I'm not starting Mason Rudolph this week. I suggested playing him last week only because it was the Miami Dolphins, and he still didn't look all that great. Just the Dolphins defense made him look better than I think he was. He has some deer in the headlight moments still, and I'm not feeling him, even in two QB leagues. I think you start Juju. It's not the greatest matchup. Deontay Johnson has warranted our attention. Let's just put it that way. After putting up a nice line and making some great catches,
man, Deontay,
in that contest against Miami.
Deontay Johnson's been huge for the Steelers this year. I mean, in three full games with Mason Rudolph, Deontay has 3 for 52 and 1. He's got 6, 77 and 1. And then last week against the Dolphins, he had another great game with 5 catches and another touchdown.
Yep.
I actually really like Johnson again in this game. I think, you know, the Colts do a really good job of keeping everything in front of them. They play a ton of zone coverage. So, maybe Johnson can get beat deep, can beat them deep once or twice in this spot here.
Yeah, I am starting Marlon Mack in this contest. That's pretty obvious. Otherwise, T.Y. Hilton, you know, you're going to play him without question. He should be a fine start this week. Eric Ebron, I say you probably play him if you're desperate at tight end, which many of us are. But Jacoby Brissett is becoming this year's Ben Roethlisberger in that he's very good at home, but on the road, he's mediocre. And he's on the road this week, and I would fade him. Steelers defense against quarterbacks, you know, they've gotten the job done after week one when they had a tough matchup. But I would be fading Brissett. Brissett is a guy that, unless the matchup is very, very favorable on the road, is going to end up being on the sit-em side for me in most weeks.
You know, I just think there's better streaming options this week, frankly. I mean, Gardner Minshew is an amazing play. Derek Carr is an amazing play this week. Sam Darnold, obviously, against the Dolphins. I just think there's some higher upside options.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And other than that, I mean, any other Colts we're looking at? I mean, Zach Pascal, you never know what's going to... The Steelers are awful against the slot, but the Colts don't offer anyone that we really can get excited about.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton, they'll move T.Y. Hilton quite a bit, I bet, in this matchup. But outside of that, there's really not too much to like here outside of Hilton and Mack.
Yep. Jets at Dolphins.
Speaking of not much to like.
But there is, though, in this game.
Yeah, well, on the Jets.
There actually is, though. So I would not be surprised if the Jets lost this game, number one. I'm just saying. I played Sam Darnold over Kyler Murray. It's going to end up biting me in the keister. But I do like Darnold in this matchup. If you look at the numbers, listen, and that's what we do, guys. You know, you got to trust the process. And the Dolphins are horrible against quarterbacks. They have been all season long. So I've got Darnold in there. And, you know, he's turning the ball over a ton, but the Dolphins don't force a lot of turnovers. So I feel safe with Darnold there as a streaming option. This could finally be the game that Le'Veon Bell breaks out. It could be the game because the Dolphins are brutally bad against running backs. So if you are thinking of sitting Le'Veon Bell, which most people are not, unless those who are like rage sitting him because he's been a bust this season, don't do it. Play him this week. Now, in terms of wide receivers, I really like Jamison Crowder in this game.
Yeah. I think Robbie Anderson and Jamison Crowder are good plays in this game. If you really like, they're fantastic receiver three and flex plays. I mean, Miami, just think about it. They have just basically not played pass defense this year. I mean, they lead the league in terms of their explosive plays allowed. That's 20 or more yards. The Dolphins have allowed a top 12 fantasy receiver performance in 4 of their last 5 games. I mean, I think they've given up the most top 24 fantasy performances among receivers all year.
Yep.
Get Crowder and Anderson into your lineups, especially like in 12-team leagues. They're just great flex plays this week, both of them are.
Yeah, and in terms of injury, we're waiting to see what happens with Chris Herndon.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get Chris Herndon back. This has just been, you know, hamstrings linger with these skill position guys, and it seems like this one with Herndon is really lingering. It does not sound... I read a report this morning from Adam Gase. Basically, does not sound like they're going to get him back for this spot. But you mentioned Le'Veon Bell. He is an amazing, amazing play. This is a huge squeaky wheel spot for him. I mean, he's playing every single snap for the Jets, and you know, for the last 5 weeks hasn't gone over 100 drives from scrimmage, but I think Bell gets there and smashes in
yeah,
the spot.
Yeah, and I talked about this last week where I had made a couple of trades to get him. I'm buying low on him because the schedule is very favorable, and this is where that schedule starts to be extremely attractive for Le'Veon Bell. Jets defense is obviously a must-stream this week. No defense that has faced the Dolphins has finished worse than tied for 9th in points,
yeah,
which is ridiculous. And the Jets defense is all that great. So in the back of my mind, I'm almost thinking, oh, man, is this going to be the week where, like, that defense that faces Miami doesn't live up to expectations? But we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, it could. Their run defense is still really good.
I know. Yeah. So on the Dolphins side, Mark Walton is a nice sleeper this week. The Jets are giving up the 7th most fantasy points to running back. So if you picked up Walton and you need a flex, I think he is a worthwhile option.
I think I'd start Walton over. I know you like Jordan Howard this week, but I think I'd start Walton over Howard and Hyde. Just because.
Yes, I have him over Hyde, yeah.
In PPR leagues, just because Walton has the potential to at least like get 5 to 8
six
targets. Yeah, he had 6 targets. He has the potential to at least see 5 or 8. And, you know, if he played 87% of the Dolphins snaps in his first start, basically, I think that led all running backs last week in terms of snaps. Rate. So, you know, I get it. It's the Dolphins. We don't want to play any of their guys, but, you know, Mark Walton's a pretty solid RB2 flex play this week, I think. Even in this spot here against this Jets defense, that is pretty solid against the run. But if the Dolphins get in the red zone, which they're actually doing now with Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think Walton could get in the box.
All right. So Ryan Fitzpatrick has a revenge game. Every game is a revenge game because he's played for half the damn league. The Jets are giving up right around 18 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks on the road. 2 QB, super flex.
Yeah.
Fitz.
Yeah. I mean,
I think
Fitz is always in play in super flex leagues just because he's so highly variable.
I know, right?
He's so much fun.
And what about the wide receivers?
Yeah.
I mean, are we looking at Preston Williams and Devontae Parker as potential flyers this week?
Yeah, they're fine. I mean, they, you know, over the last like month or so, they've been averaging like right around like 4 catches and 50 yards per game. You basically just need them to score, which Devontae Parker randomly has been doing this year. Mm-hmm. I will say last week, the Dolphins did get Allen Hurns and Albert Wilson back in a little bit more involved. And if they're going to kind of be running out a rotation of these guys and spreading out targets, it's not necessarily a situation you want to be invested in. But I do think this week, both Preston Williams and Parker are fine, like deep, deep sleeper plays if you're in a 14-team league.
All right, moving on. Vikings at Chiefs, and the big injury that we're looking at here is Adam Thielen.
Yep. You know, again, I'm not really entirely sure what's going to happen here. I think Adam Thielen is trending towards playing, but they could give him one more week. Patrick Mahomes, I'd be shocked if he plays this week again. I mean, just think about it. I mean, the Chiefs can just cruise in the AFC West, especially with the Chargers way down at 3-5 right now. Oakland is really their, randomly, Oakland is kind of their main competition, I think, in that division this year. I'd be pretty surprised if Mahomes plays, but keep your eyes locked on the Thielen injury. It does sound like he's going to return, though.
Yeah, and then Kirk Cousins, to me, is a nice play against the Chiefs. Quarterbacks are averaging over 20 fantasy points per game against them at Arrowhead Stadium. Dalvin Cook, start him. Stephon Diggs. Now, this guy is one of the hottest wide receivers in fantasy football, and I'm not telling you that you should sit him because he's one of the hottest wide receivers in fantasy football. So you've got to play him. I would just tell you this. Kansas City is giving up fewer than 17 fantasy points per game to receivers lined out wide. They have been really tough, underrated in terms of stopping outside wideouts. So you're playing Diggs, and I think you still play him with confidence. But if he does put up a stinker this week, the Chiefs defense could be partly to blame there. And obviously, if Thielen is out, that means more targets for Diggs. And again, Diggs is a guy you're starting. But the Chiefs have been tough. They've only given up 3 touchdowns all year to receivers lined out wide.
Yeah, they've done it. You know, this is a little bit what they did last year, too. They just like keep everything in front of them and just basically just don't allow themselves to get burnt deep. Mm-hmm. But they do give up a ton of fantasy points to the slot. And if Thielen plays, I think you've got to get him in your lineup.
Move him into the slot. Yeah,
because Thielen is always in the slot when they go into 3 receiver sets.
Yep.
He is going to make mincemeat of their secondary if he's active and playing a bunch.
Matt Moore, and the Vikings have been giving it up to quarterbacks. I don't know if I trust Matt Moore, though. I believe I have him right on the borderline of my top 20, so maybe a 2 QB super flex option in fantasy leagues, assuming Mahomes is out, which we all sort of expect him to be. That Chiefs backfield is literally, like, there's gray hairs on my head that have come directly from trying to figure out what the hell's going on with that backfield. And we had a little bit of a grasp on it the last few weeks. It looked like McCoy was the guy, although he wasn't doing anything. And then he coughed it up. Damian Williams came in, scored a touchdown, and now we're back at square one. I can't trust any of them.
Yeah, just don't.
I'm not playing any of them.
Yeah, just don't play these guys. I mean, we could chase this running back committee when Patrick Mahomes is in there just because of the red zone, the obvious red zone opportunity with Mahomes on the field. But with Matt Moore back there and, you know, the Chiefs, you know, seemingly having a different game plan with the running backs every single week between McCoy and Damian, yeah, just try to avoid this situation. If you can.
You're playing Tyreek, the freak. I mean, that's obvious. You're starting Kelsey. That's obvious. Any other Chiefs pass catchers that we trust?
Nope.
Okay.
Definitely not Sammy Watkins.
Moving on. I know, like, Mecole Hardman got in the end zone last week, but yeah, that's about it. Moving on. Titans at Panthers. Now, first thing we want to talk about here is our pal Ian Rappaport, NFL insider extraordinaire, is reporting that Cam Newton is not close to coming back. It looked like he could potentially be getting closer last week, based on what we have heard. And now he is going to Green Bay to visit Dr. Robert Anderson, who is a renowned foot specialist. And we may find out a little bit more about whether or not we're going to see Cam Newton again this season.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. I'll say that. I'm bearing the lead there. But yeah, it does not sound good for Cam Newton. Look, Kyle Allen has played well. I think he's acquitted himself fine in this offense. But I think for long-term purposes, the Panthers are dying to get Cam back, because when he's healthy, he obviously just lifts the ceiling of this entire team. But yeah, it's sounding like Cam might be closer to getting shut down. So if you were picking him up this week and stashing him, it's probably best to let him go.
I had suggested doing that because
I was doing it in a few spots
last
too.
Week. He actually went through his rehab routine during pregame warmups, and it looked like maybe he was getting a little bit closer, and now he hasn't practiced the last couple of days, and that foot is not healing, and it's a problem. So, yeah, I agree with you. If you did go out and get him, and there's somebody on the waiver wire that you could use on your team or maybe stash like a backup, like an Alexander Mattison, I would cut ties with Cam Newton.
Yeah, him going to see Dr. Anderson here is obviously just a sign that they're trying to figure out what's going on with his foot and why it's not getting any better. And Cam did not elect to have surgery. They elected to go with, you know, this kind of a rehab treatment. So for me, I don't expect to see Cam anytime soon, really.
Yeah, that would be my take on that as well. All right, let's get to the game now. Ryan Tannehill has looked good. 19-plus fantasy points in two straight games. Not sure I trust him out of two QB leagues this week against Carolina on the road. Derrick Henry's a very good play. Stinker last week. I warned you. That Buccaneers defense is no joke against the run, but Carolina's coming off of giving up 4 touchdowns to Tevin Coleman. They've given up 10 rushing touchdowns this year to running backs. So Derrick Henry is a guy that you're starting. Corey Davis disappointed me last week, and A.J. Brown was not all that great either. Are we trusting any Titans wide receivers in this game?
Oh, God, man. Look, I'll keep standing for Corey Davis and A.J. Brown in the show. They're super talented. These guys need to continue to be stashed on your benches in fantasy leagues. But yeah, you cannot trust these guys in fantasy. The biggest problem here is pass volume, right? I mean, like, even with Ryan Tannehill, he gives them more of a chance, but they're just not seeing any targets. I mean, both of these guys have seen 6 or fewer targets in 7 of 8 games this year. Delaney Walker's absence will maybe even help the volume just a little bit, but Jonnu Smith will be back in play as a streamer option if Walker misses, and really that's kind of it on this Titan side. I think Derrick Henry has a huge game, though. I think you're right on that.
Delaney Walker has missed practice all week. It's Friday morning, and we don't know if he's practiced or not today, but it looks like Jonnu Smith is going to end up being an option for you as a viable streaming tight end.
Yeah, I think he's the top streaming option again this week.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now let's flip over to the Panther side. We talked about Cam Newton not going to play anytime soon, it seems. Kyle Allen, I don't love the matchup this week. Again, 2 QB super flex leagues is his limitation. I'm starting DJ Moore this week. We don't have to talk about Christian McCaffrey because he's Christian McCaffrey. I think Curtis Samuel is a guy that you can potentially utilize as a flex in a deeper league, maybe a third wide receiver. I like Greg Olsen this week, though, and he has sucked for a long time. Like, he's been awful for basically ever since Cam left. He had that one good game with Kyle Allen, and that was it. But the Titans have given up 4 touchdowns and 4 top 9 fantasy tight ends in 8 games this season. So I'm rolling with Olsen.
Yeah,
crossing my fingers.
Yeah, the biggest problem, man, is he's essentially been phased out of this offense over the past month. I mean, Moore has 32 targets, Samuel has 30, and we know McCaffrey's always involved in the passing game. But Olsen has been down just with 15 targets over the last month. Obviously, you mentioned the matchup is right, the spot is right, but he's basically, you know, we can't really project him. Like, if you just do raw projections, you can't really project him for many more fantasy points than like Janu and TJ Hockenson and maybe even Darren Fells. Olsen's basically just dropped down to, you know, low end tight end one, and that's not saying. Literally, that's not saying anything.
I know, it's funny too, because this is the second year in a row where, you know, you talk about a player like last year was like Trey Burton. It was like, oh, hey, Trey Burton is he's a tight end one, but that doesn't say much.
Yeah, doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything, you know, this season and last season, because the position has just been so, so bad. So that's what we're looking at there from the Panthers side of the ball. Moving on. Redskins and Bills, and there is a lot to like in this game on the Buffalo side.
Yeah, then there's a lot of injuries on the Redskins side. Yeah. They are coming to this game extremely banged up. Case Keenum is in concussion protocol. We'll talk about what his impact to this game will be. Adrian Peterson hasn't practiced all week. He somehow battled through a high ankle sprain and a low foot issue, I guess, on Thursday night last week. He hasn't practiced all week with that injury, and it sounds like Chris Thompson is going to miss again with turf toe. He hasn't practiced since week 6. Quickly, let's talk about the Redskins here. Without Case Keenum,
there's nobody that you can play. Adrian Peterson, I think, is a desperation flex. And if Darius Geis is available in your league, please go get him. I've talked to him. He's feeling good. Not sure when he's coming back. But that schedule for the Redskins is very favorable for running backs the rest of the season. So I don't feel terrible if I had to flex Peterson this week with 4 teams on a bye, depending on what your needs are. But listen, if you've watched Dwayne Haskins play football in the national football, he is not ready. Yeah. He should not be a starting quarterback in this league, and he's potentially being forced to do that. Last week I watched the game. He had, and you know, Terry McLaurin played college football at Ohio State with Dwayne Haskins. You would think they'd have a great rapport, and maybe they do, but things come at you fast at the National Football League level. And there was a couple of plays there. There was one where he overthrew McLaurin completely. He was wide open. And then there was another one where McLaurin had gotten behind the defense. I mean, and if Dwayne even looked up, if he looked downfield, he sees him, he's wide open, he's scoring a touchdown. Instead, he dumped it off.
Yeah.
So I can't play Haskins. I will say this, McLaurin's also got a really good schedule down the stretch.
He does.
After this week, when he probably gets shut out by Tre'Davious White and his quarterback, I would be looking to buy low on the rookie out of Ohio State. Moving on to the Bills side, I'm starting Josh Allen. I like this. I like this matchup against the Washington Redskins. What are we looking at in this backfield, though? Because last week, Singletary had a lot more snaps than Gore, but they were also playing from behind.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a little bit of just the game script here. Singletary was up at a 70% snap rate, like you mentioned, playing a bunch, but he didn't really see the ball. I mean, he only had 3 carries, saw 6 targets, obviously scored. But, you know, I think ideally, Fabs, if you've been stashing or relying on Gore or Singletary at this point, you really should look for some better options, because I think this is just a complete headache here. And really, I don't think we can trust any of the usage at all. I mean, Gore is going to be involved on early downs when they're ahead, and I guess Singletary will be the main back when they get behind, but it's just not a situation I don't think we can really rely on too much. But this is just another good spot for Josh Allen and John Brown, I think.
John Brown, yeah, no question about that. So, this is like that middle part of the really good matchups for Josh Allen. He is in a stretch of games where he has got just tremendous, tremendous matchups. You know, in Miami, Philadelphia. This week he's got Washington. I believe he's got Miami again coming up in a couple of weeks. So continue to start Josh Allen if you don't have one of those elite quarterbacks on your roster. Moving on, Buccaneers. Seahawks, what are we looking at for injuries?
Oh, yeah, I love this game for fantasy. The only injury that we're looking at here is O.J. Howard. He continues to not practice, has not practiced all week with the hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. Cam Brate, man, what are we doing? Cam Brate gets a full-time role last week without O.J. Howard, plays on over 2/3 of the snaps, season high, saw 6 targets and only caught 3.
O.J. didn't practice today, so.
For 32 yards.
Yep.
I mean, if you again, any
Seattle's given up the fifth most yards and the fourth most points to tight ends.
Yes. If you have a pulse and you have a projectable 4 to 5 targets, and
yes,
you are a playable tight end. But Cam Brate, man, I don't have any confidence, because Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are just the horses here, and Brate's just going to get, you know, whatever is left over. But yep. Yeah, the spot is right. He's going to play, but again, I just don't really have much confidence that Cam Brate has any talent to really capitalize on this opportunity.
By the way, if you go on NFL.com and go to Cameron Brate's player page, or if you go to my Stardom and Sit Him tight ends, there's a photo of him. He looks exactly like a blue-eyed Aaron Judge. Exactly. Like, honestly, like, go to it. I'm like, freaking Aaron Judge, man.
I will.
It looks exactly like him. Anyways, as a Yankees fan, I was like, yeah, freaking Aaron Judge. Anyways, every week, you know, Jameis Winston is like Jekyll and Hyde. We don't know what the heck to do with him, you know, and he's putting up numbers. He's turning the ball over a ton, but he's still putting up some numbers. I like him this week against Seattle.
Yeah.
I kind of like him.
I mean, that's the thing with Jameis. Like, if you're going to play him in fantasy, just don't watch the game.
It'll drive you nuts.
Because you're going to think he's going to be terrible, but he ends up, like you said, putting up solid fantasy numbers. You know, you mentioned the crazy thing is Jameis is turning the ball over at the same Jameis rates, and he's doing the same Jameis things, but he's finished as a top 13 fantasy quarterback now in 4 of his last 5 games. Had a really bad game in London against the Panthers, but he still threw for like over 400 yards in that game, which is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've been relying on Jameis, this is another decent spot to go back to him. But again, it's Jameis.
It's Jameis. It's weird when you like a quarterback who's facing a defense that you would stream. And I would stream the Seahawks defense this week because Jameis.
That's the Jameis Winston special. You can play Jameis Winston in your fantasy lineup, and you can also use the defense against him.
Right. Very odd. Very odd scenario. The Buccaneers backfield, good luck with that. Just disaster. I guess Ronald Jones would be the preferred option, but I have no idea because that thing is just a mess. At wide receiver, start Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. I'm not telling you anything you don't already need to know. And Seattle, I mean, is the same kind of thing. You're starting Russell, duh. You're starting Chris Carson, duh. Although this matchup is not great for Carson, still playing him. Tyler Lockett is very good play, potentially a top 8 play at wide receiver. And DK Metcalf, he's not getting a ton of targets, but he's getting a lot of targets in the red zone. He's running a lot of routes in the red zone, and he's cashing them in. He had a couple of touchdowns last week, and I think he is a solid play this week. He's running over 80% of his routes on the outside, and the Buccaneers have getting smashed by wide receivers all season long who run their routes on the outside. So Metcalf is a good play. Let's talk kicker. Jason Myers, I like this week. Listen, man, you know what? People need kickers, dude.
Yeah.
They need kickers. I like Jason Myers this week.
Yeah. Real quick on Lockett.
Yeah.
He's going to lose his freaking mind this weekend, man.
Yeah, I think so too.
This Bucs team has literally zero chance at stopping him. And if Jameis and this passing offense can kind of keep pace and force Russell Wilson to actually throw the ball, you know, it's a crime against, real quick, let me get on a soapbox. It is a crime against humanity that the Seahawks only threw the ball 20 freaking times against the Falcons.
Yeah,
20 times.
I know.
Look, okay, you got up quick, fine, whatever. You got up to a big lead. But oh my God, the game ended up 27-20, and Wilson ended the game with 20 pass attempts.
Yep.
Can we please like replay this game from last week and have Wilson throw it at least 30 times?
Isn't it odd that the best quarterback in fantasy football arguably had one of his worst stat lines against Atlanta?
Yeah, well, that's Brian Schottenheimer for you.
That's fantasy football for you. Yeah. Moving on, Lions at Raiders. There's a lot to like in this game. I think the biggest injury is probably Josh Jacobs, who's dealing with a banged-up shoulder, but I believe he's going to be okay for this contest.
Yep.
And he is a must-start. The Lions are giving up 31 fantasy points per game to running backs. That's a league high. Matthew Stafford, last year Matthew Stafford was like basically in my sit-em portion of that column every week in the second half, every week. Now, dude, maybe he's not a must start. He's a damn good start against Oakland.
Yeah, he is. I agree. I think Stafford is. I was wrong about Stafford for fantasy this year. I wish I had him on more teams. The Lions have kind of opened this thing up a little bit. They're, you know, obviously the Kerryon Johnson injury is forcing their hands a little bit, but they're throwing a little bit more than I think we all kind of expected. And this matchup is fantastic against the Raiders.
Yep. And
I think this game is going to shoot the hell out. This game has a lot of firework potential because Lions secondary has started to fall apart. They've started to show some cracks. Derek Carr doesn't turn the ball over at all. The Raiders are going to have a ton of possessions in this game and control the script. I think pretty much everybody in this game is a start. Marvin Jones, Kenny Golladay, obviously you want to get those guys in your lineups. And Tyrell Williams has been so consistent for the Raiders each and every week when he's been out there.
Yeah, back to the Lions. I like Danny Amendola this week. If you're hurting for a flex starter, the Raiders are giving up. They've given up 7 touchdowns to the slot this year and an average of nearly 23 fantasy points per game. And Amendola, you know, it sucks too because Amendola had done nothing and I dropped him in the Scott Fish league. And then he just goes bananas and somebody picks him up. I'm like, God darn it.
Yeah.
I do have Chris Conley in that league, so I'm okay. But Amendola, I get it. You know, like just when we think we can trust Danny Amendola, he throws out a stink bomb.
Yeah.
The matchup here is right.
That's my thing real quick. I mean, I think if it's in PPR leagues, you can get away with playing Danny
Amendola. Are there anything but anymore?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's quite a few people that play in standard leagues, which are basically just touchdown leagues. Okay, but, yeah, I think you can get away with Amendola in PPR leagues this week. But again, like you mentioned, his usage is just all over the place.
Yep, exactly. It's a roll of the dice.
The matchup is amazing.
But it is it's one of those matchups where you're thinking, you know what? I could probably do worse. Davante Adams and the Packers visit the Chargers for a home game. For the Packers, as we mentioned earlier, because StubHub is going to be filled with green and yellow because that's sort of what happens now. The Chargers don't really have a home field advantage. They don't really have a home field. Regardless, Adams was officially limited on Thursday. We don't have his practice participation report for Friday morning yet, but this could end up being a potential game time decision, and this is a West Coast game.
Yeah.
So if, like, I saved a spot for Adams. I put Emmanuel Sanders on the bench because I was hoping that didn't work out for me very well because I'm hoping Adams plays. But if he doesn't, you have to make sure that you have some sort of insurance going either in that game or in a later game because Adams right now, at least he's trending in the right direction, but I don't know if he's going
to
come back.
If I had to guess, I think he's going to play this week because he was back in practice, like you mentioned, in pads for the first time on Thursday. We'll see what his practice designation is today on Friday. The only tough, really difficult thing this week is it's a 125 game on the West Coast here. Lions Raiders is also at 125. Browns Broncos is at 125 as well.
Yep.
So if you have any players on your bench that, you know, any receivers like Marvin Jones or Cortland Sutton or something, you know, you'd be in a pretty good situation to kind of mix in Davante Adams if he does not play. But I think it's trending in the right direction for him because he's missed a month with the injury. The Packers said they wanted to, you know, really give him some time to get right. And I think he's getting really, really close. If he doesn't return this week, he's definitely going to be back for week 10.
Yeah. Well, that's good news for those of us who have Davante Adams on our fantasy football teams because he hadn't been putting up great numbers. He had that one gigantic game, and Rodgers has been playing great football lately, so it'd be great to have him back.
Davante hasn't scored yet this season in any of his 4 games, and I think when he comes back, he's going to start ripping.
Yeah, let's all hope so. So sticking with the Packers side, Aaron Rodgers is playing great football right now. As I mentioned, he's a guy you're going to have in your lineup. That's pretty obvious. If Adams is out, which Packers wide receiver do you trust?
None of them.
I mean, Alan Lazard, didn't put up a huge line last week, but he was more involved.
I just don't know if you can really trust any of these guys. They've just used a true rotation without Davante Adams. I mean, Alan Lazard is basically, he's been the best player out of the bunch. He's seen five targets last week, caught another caught all 5 of them for 42 yards. I mean, I guess Lazard's maybe the best play out of all of them, but like Jimmy Graham's usage has just been all over the place this year.
And Jimmy Graham is like...
His play has been all over the place this year.
He has scored fewer than 8 fantasy points in all but one of his last 4 games, and the Chargers have only allowed one top 10 tight end all year long. So I get it. The name, you know, is attractive to some people, but I mean, I'd rather play Jonnu Smith over Jimmy Graham this week.
I was going to ask
you. I'd play Greg Olsen over Jimmy Graham this week. I mean, and not that I have a whole ton of faith in some of these guys, but I just have less faith in Jimmy Graham.
I think,
especially if Adams comes back.
I mean, I know I just ripped on Cam Brate, but I think I'd consider playing Cam Brate over him as well this week. I mean, it's just Jimmy's just at this point in his career, it's just so. Such a low floor. And you know, he's even with Davante Adams out over the last month, Jimmy Graham only has 17 targets. That's it.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's terrible.
It's not good. Moving on over to the LA side of things and Phillip Rivers, who has really, I mean, he has not been that same quarterback that we've seen in the past where you draft him late and suddenly you've got a QB1, a borderline QB1 on your hands. It just hasn't been the case this season. And I would fade him against Green Bay. They're giving up an average of right around 15 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks this season. So that's a tough matchup.
Yeah, you know, it's so weird. Like, Keenan Allen has been... I think Keenan Allen's going to come back and have a good game here. His target share has been back up. He's seen double-digit targets now in back-to-back games. But it's weird, right? Like, we want to play all these Chargers guys. We want to play Keenan Allen. one, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, but Phillip Rivers, like you mentioned, kind of hasn't been producing for fantasy.
Mike Williams, I'm done with him.
Say that, and now he's going to catch two touchdowns.
I know, exactly. We haven't scored a touchdown all year long, but it's been every week. This is the week. This is the week. He has been a longtime member of the sit-em portion of my column, so I'm going to continue to fade him. Now, is this the week that we get the real Melvin Gordon back? This is a great matchup.
Yeah.
I'm playing Austin Eckler. I mean, I'm going to play him. Packers are giving up right around six catches a game to the running backs.
You know,
they're giving up over 25 fantasy points per game to the running backs. Make me feel good here because I'm in a league with a bunch of MLB players, including Adam Wainwright, and my running backs are shot to HE double hockey sticks. So I traded him Lamar Jackson to get back Matt Ryan and Melvin Gordon, and I am so afraid of that trade. I had to do it. Make me feel better about this.
I'm not going to.
I thought we were friends, Graham.
We are, but I'm not going to make you feel better here, man. Like, Melvin Gordon last week, he obviously has the 19-yard rushing score, but outside of that, he literally did not do anything for fantasy once.
Come on, man.
Had 17 carries for like 15 yards on his other seven carries for 15 yards on his other seven carries in that game.
Yeah.
If Melvin Gordon doesn't score, I think it's pretty clear that he's going to be dusty for fantasy, and he's just basically not involved in the passing game like we've seen in the past. It's all Eckler at this point.
Well, let's see if that offensive coordinator change has anything.
What if Anthony Lynn let go of Ken Whisenhunt to get Melvin Gordon more carries? I'm going to lose my mind.
As someone who just traded that whole scenario.
Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen are just so much better targets than Melvin Gordon at this point.
Yeah.
Those guys deserve the ball way more.
Moving on. This one ought to be fun. Browns and Broncos. Ugh. Remember when everyone thought the Browns were going to actually like compete against the Patriots in the AFC?
Whoops.
Not so much. So Baker Mayfield, sit him. At this point, he's been my sit of the week at quarterback like every week. And at this point, it's just comical. I'm going to keep putting him there. Until he plays the Dolphins.
Yeah, just.
And then maybe I'll put him as a start.
Just keep the placeholder warm for Mayfield.
Quarterbacks, they've had six touchdown passes and averaging 10 points against the Broncos. You just don't mess with that Broncos defense.
They're really good again.
That's why we had Brissett as a fade last week. So here's the question. Nick Chubb, obviously you're starting him. Odell Beckham Jr., not so obvious?
Yeah, I think we can. It's the same conundrum we faced last week.
You kind of have to play him?
With Beckham, you just start and pray. I mean, Chris Harris is going to shadow him. I think Beckham can be any cornerback in the NFL. It just comes down to, you know, what type of usage are we going to get from Beckham? I mean, he's seeing a career low in terms of his targets. Mm-hmm. His catch rate is at a career low. He and Baker just have not shown a lot of chemistry this year.
And to be fair, Baker's not getting much help from his offensive line.
Yeah, of course. Baker doesn't have a lot of time to throw. But again, this is another pretty tough spot for this duo. I think you have to play OBJ because he has that weak winning appeal. And frankly, his floor hasn't been just terrible. It's not like he's, scoring any points. I think he had 10.1 points last week against the Patriots, which isn't terrible.
Yeah.
Against
that team. Jarvis Landry, fade for me. The Broncos are allowing 55 yards per game to the slot, the third fewest fantasy points. So he is someone that I would keep on my bench. And what's interesting about this game is that you can actually stream both defenses because
Brandon Allen
is starting for the Denver Broncos. And this is what I was afraid of. I had talked about trading Courtland Sutton while his value was wicked high last week. And I did that. I was able to get Philip Lindsay in a trade for him in the league where I did have a share of Sutton. Now you're looking at Brandon Allen and potentially Drew Lock down the line. Because I don't know if Joe Flacco is going to play football again this season.
So yeah.
With that neck injury.
The Broncos have already said that he's going to miss at least a month with the neck injury, and to me that just signals that when Drew Lock is back that they're going to try and give him a shot and just see what they have. The Broncos know they're dead in this division, especially with the Chiefs and Raiders looking pretty good. The Chargers are sitting at 3-5. Broncos are just going to go in full-on evaluation mode. I just really hope, Fabs, that Brandon Allen's emergence into this offense or him starting in this offense just doesn't kill Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, because even though they've been in a timeshare, you know, Lindsay's been a great RB2 again, and Royce Freeman has been a very, very solid floor flex in RB2.
And the Browns are giving up 4.6 yards per rush. They've given up three top six fantasy running backs. So Lindsay and Freeman are both in play as I think Lindsay more of an RB2, Freeman more of a flex in this contest. And speaking of Courtland Sutton, you probably have to play him. He's been tremendous, but now we have to see.
I have no idea how Courtland Sutton's going to perform. I will say, too, the Browns got Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward back a few weeks ago, which has helped their secondary a bunch. So not only is he going to be, you know, playing with a new quarterback that's ostensibly their third string quarterback, but the Browns are finally healthy in the secondary too.
Tougher opponent. So with those DBs back for the Cleveland Browns. So we'll see what happens with Cortland Sutton there. No other Broncos wide receivers that I trust. Noah Fant is not doing it for me. I saw the target share obviously had gone up last week. I'm out on him at this point. Patriots at Ravens.
Yes.
What are we looking at for injuries? Interesting stat here, guys. And I talked about this on the show and I put it in my column too. When Rex Burkhead is active, Sony Michel is averaging 6.9 points per game.
Yeah.
When Rex Burkhead is out, Sony Michel is averaging 17 points per game. Burkhead was active last week.
Yep.
Michel had 7.4. Burkhead is probably going to be a question mark again this week. And considering that this is a Sunday night game, you probably have to play Sony Michel. But keep in mind, number one, the matchup is not great. Road game against Baltimore, and they're going to be fired up against the mighty Patriots in Baltimore. And if Burkhead is active, that is going to hurt Sony Michel's ceiling.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, Burkhead played last week, and again, it didn't play a ton, but just taking those few snaps away, just because there's so many limited snaps in a game, it definitely limits Michel's floor. And I think really the only thing we can count on in this backfield for the Patriots is just James White finishing every week as a PPR RB2.
Yep.
Because he's doing it every single week. Really quickly on the Ravens side, Marquise Brown is questionable for this game with an ankle injury. A true game time call. I think you should just completely
play it safe. No, I'd fade him, dude.
Yeah, play it safe here. It's an 8 o'clock game. You won't have any other options.
And it's Patriots. I mean, there's nothing to like about that.
Yeah, go somewhere else with if you've been relying on Marquise Brown. Without Marquise Brown, though, I think this is another good spot for Mark Andrews because he's been getting shoveled targets as their top target.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Now, the Patriots, typically, what do they like to do? They like to take away the opponent's number one option. If Brown is out or limited, he's not going to do anything regardless against this defense.
I'm really interested to see what the Ravens do game plan wise.
Yeah, me too, because, I mean, you're looking at the numbers, and the Patriots have basically held every position to next to nothing. But, I mean, they have not given up more. They're giving up six points a game to tight ends. They've given up one touchdown to a tight end all year long. They're giving up 3.4 targets per game. So defenses aren't even going there.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what the Ravens try to do to beat and counteract some of this Patriots attack. I'm honestly, this is, I think, the game of the week here because Bill Belichick plays a ton of man coverage, but we know you do not want to play man coverage against Lamar Jackson because he can just break, contain, and rip off big runs.
Yep.
I'm very interested to see what Belichick will scheme up against the Ravens, but the Ravens have had like almost 2 weeks to prepare for this game. They're coming out of their bye.
Mm-hmm. Are we starting? I mean, listen, anybody who tweets us that, you know, should I start Lamar Jackson? You better have something real good like Russell Wilson to consider sitting him even against the Patriots. But Tom Brady, right? We playing him this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Brady's fine this week. I mean, look, at this point, Brady, especially without Rob Gronkowski, I think we've kind of seen the ceiling is a little bit lower. He obviously got off to the hot start this season with two or more scores in every game, but has since cooled off over the last 5 weeks. I think, you know, Brady just sort of is what he is for fantasy at this point. He's just kind of a low-end QB1, and I think you can rely on him in some shallower leagues. But yeah, I'm really excited for this game, man. I think this is going to be a really good one. And the Ravens, you know, probably will be without Marquise Brown. So they're going to have to trot out Miles Boykin and Willie Snead against the Patriots, just shut down corners.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how Lamar is going to beat them through the air with those guys. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. Now, moving on to the Patriots pass catchers. So in Julian Edmonds must start. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Now, when we look at usage from last week, you know, Mohamed Sanu added in a trade, second round pick was sent over to Atlanta for Mohamed Sanu's services. And last week, Sanu played 53% of the offensive snaps. He was far behind Edelman, obviously, and then Philip Dorsett played 92%. Do we like Philip Dorsett this week? Are we expecting Sanu's snap rate to increase this week?
Yeah, I am. And I think both Dorsett and Sanu at this point are kind of just, I would be very, very beware of them in my lineups, just because I think this will eventually turn into some sort of, you know, essentially a situation where the Patriots aren't throwing enough to support Sanu and Dorsett and Edelman, because Edelman is obviously the main guy, the only guy really we can rely on every single week in this offense. You know, Dorsett is going to be their field stretcher. Josh Gordon was released off IR yesterday. But again, man, like, it's one of those things where it's like, if we're only going to see 4 to 6 targets for Dorsett, it's probably just a situation you want to avoid in fantasy. I just think there's just a ton of really good receiver plays this week. And I'm not even sure you have to even consider starting to Philip Dorsett. Like if D.D. Westbrook doesn't play this week, I would rather play Chris Conley.
Yep.
You know, I like
Amendola as well.
I like Amendola. I think I like Amendola a little bit more than Dorsett.
Crowder.
Yeah, it's just there's just so many good receiver plays. I just don't think you have to rely on Dorsett or Sanu.
Yeah, very interesting to see what the Patriots defense does this week from a fantasy perspective. This is really their first test. They've been playing a lot of just bad teams, and now you've got a hell of a quarterback there in Lamar Jackson and a good team on the road in Baltimore. So last game, my beloved Dallas Cowboys in New Jersey to face the G-men, and Dak Prescott is a must start unless you have someone, for example, like Lamar Jackson, and you have to or Russell Wilson. But Dak was the QB2 in week 1. When he played the Giants, and the Giants defense, they made the trade to get Leonard Williams. Maybe that helps, but
they're going all in on run defense.
Yeah, but I like Dak a lot. He's in my top 5 this week. I like Michael Gallup a lot this week. He is a guy who's a wide receiver 2 flex at worst. I'm obviously Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott are going to be in your lineups. Cowboys defense is streamable. Daniel Jones, as much as he looked like a potential fantasy star last week against Detroit, it was Detroit, and he's turning the ball over a lot. So the Cowboys defense is certainly one to watch. Now, on the Giants side, what are we looking at with Sterling Shepard and his injury status right now? It seems like he's getting closer.
Yeah.
But then every time we think he's getting closer, he ends up inactive.
Yeah. You know, Sterling Shepard, this is his second concussion of the year. Obviously, the Giants are wanting to, you know, make sure that everything in terms of his testing is right. He returned to a full practice again on Thursday. Uh-huh. Was in a non-contact jersey early in the week. So I guess he's trending towards playing. I don't think we can rely on Sterling Shepard on Monday night. It's going to head towards a game time call, and you won't have any other pivots outside of like maybe Darius Slayton or Michael Gallup. But if Shepard does return, I'm kind of interested to see if Daniel Jones can support all of these Giants pass catchers, right? Because Golden Tate, over the last 3 weeks without Sterling Shepard, has been a great PPR play every single week.
Yep.
He's got 6 for 102, 680, and 885 on the game logs. Evan Engram obviously is a must play every single week. But if Sterling returns, I'm kind of concerned that Tate, Engram, and Shepard might just eat into each other's target share enough because the Giants have had so many injuries this year. It's kind of skinnied up their target share for most games. But Shepard's maybe returning might muck this up a little bit.
Yeah, I think for fantasy purposes, like you said, I mean, you can't wait around to start him. I mean, I've seen him dropped in some leagues. He's certainly worth a roster spot if he's going to be healthy, but it's hard based on a Monday night game unless you have someone else that you can put in. Like, I'd be starting Michael Gallup ahead of him anyways, but maybe a Darius Slayton just in case. It may not be worth that risk, though. So that is your slate of week 9 contests. And you got any parting thoughts this week, my friend? And I know you said that the Patriots and the Ravens were like the game that you were really sort of interested to watch this week. For me, from a fantasy perspective, I really think that Buccaneers Seahawks game is going to go like off the rails.
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to be fun.
Just from my personal like viewing standpoint, I'm most looking forward to Patriots Ravens. But for fantasy, yeah, Bucs Seahawks.
Yeah, and I also want to see what Jordan Howard does to his former team too.
Bucs Seahawks. I really hope goes off because there's that game could be so much fun.
All right, guys. So just another couple of reminders. Remember that London game on Sunday morning, 6:30 Pacific time. Now, here's the good news. The clocks go back. So
oh,
you get
good
an
point.
Extra hour of sleep.
Wait, I thought they go back.
Fall back. Eighth. Nope, they go back this weekend.
Oh.
So we fall back and, right, that's correct. We fall back this weekend and so you get an extra
You're
hour
right.
of
yeah,
sleep.
You're right, yeah, it's the 3rd. I was wrong.
So at least that will help you get up and be maybe a little less grumpy.
Yeah.
You have to check the inactives for, if you have D.D. Westbrook, for example, for Jaguars. and Texans. So make sure you're up early. You check that out. Watch it. I believe this is our final game overseas in
it
London.
Is. Yep.
Rich Eisen, Kurt Warner, and the guys are going to be doing that game. They'll do a bang up job. And we get things kicked off early. It's always fun, like when you're on the West Coast and there's a game like before you even wake up, and you wake up and it's like middle of the first quarter and like,
oh yeah, football's on.
It's freaking awesome.
Yeah,
this is great, man.
Wake up and watch football. Yeah, it's great.
It's like NFL Christmas, man. By the way, we're less than 2 months away from Christmas.
I can't believe it.
It's crazy, man. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you go out there and rate and review. Check us out on Monday when we will be back with Marcus Grant. In the meantime, good luck in all your Week 9 fantasy football matchups, and we'll see you soon.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.